Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
We're in the book of Jonah. Who's enjoying Jonah? Oh, a couple of people, yes. I'm really getting some new stuff out of this book. I have preached on it before, I've heard the story before, and I'm getting new stuff. Are you getting new stuff? Something new? Yeah. The stinking prophet. He's a bit stinky. And today we're going to look at probably the physical stinkiness of Jonah, because he's going into the belly of a fish. But today's sermon, does anybody know Sesame Street? Has anybody watched Sesame Street? Yes, maybe not recently, but yes. Well, today's sermon is brought to you by the word down and the number three. You know, on Sesame Street, they always have a letter of the day and a number. Today's word of the day is down and the number is three. Have you ever felt down? Yeah. Physically down, emotionally down, psychologically down, even figuratively down. And I thought of, I think it's Coles. They used to have that big red hand with the word down on it. And they'd go, down, down, prices are down. Well, today I want to go down, down, Jonah is down. So if you don't remember anything else, you will remember that, hopefully. But have you ever felt so down that you didn't think you could get back up? So far that you couldn't even look up. I think we've all been there, whether that's in the past, maybe we're feeling that now. And this character of Jonah today, we're going to see how he felt when he was down and what he did. Sometimes we get down because of our own actions and our own consequences of things that have happened. Sometimes it's because of what others have done to us. And sometimes it's just the circumstances of life that bring us down. What do you do when you are down? What have you done in the past when you are down? Pray, yes. Talk to Jesus, yes. And we'll see that that's what Jonah did today in our story. But the theme of Jonah over this last couple of weeks has been that down, down. God had given Jonah a job to do. God said to him, go to Nineveh and tell the people that their ways are not good, that they are doing the wrong thing. Go and tell them that they need to repent. They need to, you know, say they're sorry for what they're doing. Well, you know what Jonah did? He went down to Joppa to get on a boat to go to a place called Tarshish. So he went down. Now, while he was on this ship, there was a great storm because he was doing the wrong thing. He was going in the wrong direction. God was trying to get his attention. And where was Jonah when this storm was on? Down in the bottom of the boat with his head laid down in a deep sleep, not just an ordinary sleep, a deep sleep. Jonah was down, down. Then, after realizing that the storm was because of him, what happened? He said to the sailors, oh, look, it's my fault. Throw me overboard. And he ends up being thrown overboard and ends up down, down in the bottom of the sea. This is where Mark left us last week. He's thrown into the sea. So we're going to continue reading this story of Jonah today. So we're going to read a couple of verses from the end of chapter 1 just to give us the reminder of where we are in the story, and then we're going to continue into chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to look from chapter 1, verse 15, and then we're going to continue in the story and see what happens to this down, down Jonah. Verse 15, and I'm going to read from the Message version because I like this version of this story today, and it kind of brings out something. So yours might be slightly different, but hear the words and see the difference in your translation. They took Jonah, the sailors, and threw him overboard. Immediately the sea was quieted down. The sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea, but in awe of God. They worshipped God, offered a sacrifice, and made vows. I want to pause here. Even Jonah, in his most disobedient, in his most downtime, God brought something good. He saved those sailors, not just physically from the storm. He brought them salvation that enabled them to worship him. They didn't know about this God. They had other gods that they were talking to and believing in. They now believed in the one true God. So even when we are most disobedient, God can still work. God will still bring a good outcome. Amen. They knew who God really was now. Verse 17, then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and nights. Stinking prophet. Just imagine what he would look like, felt like, smelt like. Mark was going to get a thing of tuna and leave it in the sun for a few days and bring it into church and have you smell it? No. I said, please don't. We might all be feeling a bit sick. Interestingly, the words sometimes that the scriptures use are really quite, we just read them as words, but they actually have a lot of meaning. This animal that is swallowing Jonah, what word do we read in the scriptures here today? Fish. It's a fish. But there's lots of kids' Bible stories that talk about a whale. When I looked into this, I thought, why were some things we saying fish and sometimes we're saying whale? Well, when I looked into it, in the original Hebrew, it's actually probably using a word that more translates as sea creature. So basically a fish or a mammal, they're all sea creatures. And the idea is that we are to understand that it's a large sea creature or even a sea monster. Mark hypothesized it's probably the Loch Ness Monster. I think it's in the wrong continent for the Loch Ness Monster, but, you know, maybe he migrated. But this idea that it's this large sea creature. We're to imagine that it's something big enough that God had created, whether for just that purpose or whether it was something that was created being at that time. Maybe it's extinct now and we don't know, we don't see it today. But the idea is it's this big sea creature. So whether you call it a fish or a whale, I got a bit pedantic and said, it has to be a fish because the Bible says fish. Well, it depends what translation you've really read. Some have whale, some have fish. But the idea is it's this big, gigantic sea creature. And it's big enough to house Jonah for 3 days and three nights. And why was it 3 days and three nights? Why wasn't it two? Why wasn't it four? Why wasn't it a week? Why was it 3 days and three nights? Well, there's some debate around this. And this man called George Lanz, he suggests that the 3 days and three nights is the amount of time that it would have taken the fish to take Jonah to the netherworld, the idea of this underworld, this, I won't say underbelly because that has different connotations, this underland of darkness and close to death. And that we hear in certain scripture readings, we hear about this place called Sheol, which is like the place of the grave. And it's this deep part and close to death. Where another man, Ackerman, suggests it's the time taken for the fish to return from this place, this nether place. So whether it's the time going down, the time going up, the idea is it's 3 days. But the more connection we have with this three is actually about Jesus and how he was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And so Jonah was in this type of grave for 3 days and 3 nights for a purpose. So God has used this as a connection to the story of Jesus and Jesus' death and how he went into that netherworld for 3 days and 3 nights. And we often think of this place of Sheol or the grave. We often equate, you know, hell and words like that. We often think of the place being down, don't we? You know, we think heaven is up, hell is down. So it's kind of fitting with this whole idea of, you know, Jonah is down, 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 really down. And even the word swallow, like he didn't just float into the fish's mouth. It said that the fish swallowed. Now, when you swallow your food, what happens to your food? It goes down, doesn't it? It does. Yeah. So the fish swallowed it. And this idea of the word swallow, like the words in the Bible are used for a reason. It's this imagery of going down, being down. So what does Jonah do when he is down? When he is down in this netherworld, when he's down in this place of the grave at the bottom of the sea for 3 days and 3 nights in a stinky belly of a fish. Chapter 2 says this. Then Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. Good plan, Jonah. If you're down, 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 what are you going to do? You're going to pray to God. Great plan. Now, I'm a bit of a skeptic with Jonah, and this passage has made me realize I'm more like Jonah than I like to think. But it doesn't really tell us at what part in the 3 days did Jonah pray. Before I started my study, I went, oh, yeah, he did it at the last possible second. He waited the whole 3 days and three nights before he prayed. But it doesn't actually tell us at which point during that 3 days did he pray. He might have prayed at the beginning and God wanted him to wait 3 days and three nights before he'd learned his lesson and brought him up. But it doesn't matter. As long as our strategy when we are down is to turn to God and to pray. And this is what he prays. He says, in trouble, deep trouble, I prayed to God. He answered me. From the belly of the grave, I cried, help. Anyone prayed that prayer, help? I've prayed it. And that's sometimes been the only word that I've prayed is help. Because I don't have any other words to pray. I feel so down, I feel so worn out, so broken, that the only word I can pray is help. From the belly of the grave, I cried help. And he says, you heard my cry. You threw me into ocean's depths, into a watery grave, with ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing over me. Jonah recognizes that he is physically down in the ocean depths, but he's also emotionally down because he's crying out to God. He describes this place as a watery grave. But yet he knows that God still hears him even there, even though he's in deep trouble in deep waters. Interesting that he's actually blaming God and saying to him, you threw me into ocean's deep. That's not the story I remember we heard last week. He actually told the sailors to throw him into the ocean. Do we ever do that with God and say, God, you've brought this upon me. I'm in this place and blamed God for something that really we need to own? Do we blame God for the circumstances sometimes that we've been brought upon ourselves? He continues, I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. Have you ever felt that you've been thrown away? That you're thrown out of sight, even out of God's sight. Do you feel invisible? invisible to the world, invisible to God, invisible to others. This is where Jonah was at. He felt like he was thrown. He wasn't just thrown into the sea. He was thrown away from people. He was thrown out of, and he felt like he was out of God's sight. But he continues and says, I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. Ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held tight. That image of the ocean gripped by my throat. It's a gruesome image of not being able to breathe, of drowning. The ocean gripped him by the throat. It says, my head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. Imagine his lovely hairdo with the seaweed and maybe some fish bones or coral. Maybe it was nice and pretty. Maybe it was nice colours. Seaweed is not really the nicest smelling. What beach were we at? Oh, it's Peppermint Grove Beach, and there was seaweed all along. It was only slightly smelly, but it was winter. I can imagine in summer it would have been... My head was all tangled in seaweed. Has anyone been swimming and had it all wrapped around? I've had it wrapped around my feet. That's kind of... And the sand, oh my goodness. I remember going to Geraldton as a kid and we got dumped by waves and I had sand everywhere. And I remember going in the shower and the sand just clogging up the drain hole because there was just so much sand in my bathers. Ugh. Sand in places I just don't want. Anyway. It continues. Jonah says, I was as far down as a body can go. And the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. How permanent does that feel? That you feel like you're so far down that there's gates behind you that you can't get out. That you're stuck way down. It's not just a little down. It's as far down as he could go. That must have felt like he was never going to get out. Yet you pulled me up from that grave alive. Oh God, my God. Jonah was as low and far down as he could go, but God still brought him up. There is hope here. Even though he feels like he can't get up, there is hope because he knows that God will pull him up. He hasn't come up yet. He's still in the belly of the fish. But it's like he already knows what God will do. Even when there feels like there's no way up, God can pull us up. He can bring us back alive from the grave, from a place where we feel like we can't get up. God can bring us back. We're never too far that God can't bring us back up. And it continues, when my life was slipping away, I remembered God. And my prayer got through to you, made it all the way to your holy temple. It's almost that Jonah had to go down as far as he possibly imagines for him to turn to God in prayer. Do we wait till life is so bad and we get so far down before we turn to God and remember him? It says, and it's his life was slipping away, then he remembers God. It's like we have to get so far down, so far away, and before we remember, oh, yes, there is a God I can pray to. There is a God I can speak to. And then he continues, those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, walk away from their only true love. Interestingly, that Jonah is having a bit of a dig at others here. He's saying, you know, people who worship other gods and accusing them of walking away from their one true love. Hang on. What did Jonah do? He walked away from his one true love in the complete opposite direction. God told him to go this way And he went five times that way. Do we sometimes do that? Can see the faults in others when we've done the same things ourselves. But he says, but I'm worshipping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving, and I'll do what I promised to do. Salvation belongs to God. Hallelujah! At last, Jonah sees sense, and he's worshipping God. And he's calling out in thanksgiving, and he agrees to do what he's promised to do. And we will see next week if he actually does do what God has asked him to do. You can maybe read ahead and see. Maybe you know the story of what happens next. But I'm not going to give you the clues. You'll have to come back next week to find out if he does bring true on his promise. But he recognizes that God is the one who brings salvation, the one who can save us. We can't save ourselves, particularly when we're so far down we can't even see where up is. God is the one who brings us up. He brings us salvation. He's the one who can save us from being down, down, from that grave, from death, from the depths. He can save us from ourselves. And he is the only one that can bring us up to life again. Verse 10 says, then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah on the seashore. Near the end of chapter 1 in verse 17, it says God assigned the fish to swallow Jonah. So we have that image of going down, being swallowed. And here God spoke to the fish to vomit him up. Oh, a stinky prophet again. I don't know. I don't like that smell. I know for some that are sympathetic things, the smell even can set you off. Imagine how he's covered with fish stuff and seaweed and the bile smell. Oh, yuck. But amazingly, in verse 14, God assigned the fish to do a job. And in verse 10 of chapter 2, God spoke to the fish. And this creature that God has created is obedient. The fish doesn't go, oh, I don't want to do that. He swallows Jonah the first time that he's asked, unlike Jonah. And then God commands him to vomit up, and the fish doesn't say, oh, no, I don't know. I don't know about this thing, but he does it. We are created beings, but we don't always follow what God's instructions are the first time, do we? We're a bit like Jonah, you know. I don't know that I want to do that, God. I want to go in the opposite direction. The created being that in the fish did as his creator was asked. Are we as his created beings doing as our creator has asked? Because we are created by God to do things. So from the smelly belly of a fish to being vomited on the seashore, what a fabulous image that is. The stinking prophet. But just as that swallow, that word is the powerful image of down and going down, the image of vomit is the perfect image of being brought up. You're all going to go home and go, oh dear, my stomach's a bit funny today after this. Your throat's reacting, oh, you're already getting sympathetic. Because, you know, even if he was just to dribble out, or fall out. That's not really that same. We don't get that same imagery of up. And I don't want you to think too hard of what vomiting is like. But it's a propulsion up. You know, it's kind of the best wording for being brought up. Just as swallow is to go down. God uses this word of vomit to bring us back up to the land of the living. No matter how stinky we are or how far down we find ourselves, God will still hear our cries for help, just like he did for Jonah. God will still bring us to a point of recognizing who he is so that we can worship, so that we can give thanks, just like Jonah. But it seems that God needed to take Jonah to this place of death, to this place that was so far down in the belly of a fish to get Jonah's attention. Because Jonah did not pray out to God even during that storm. The sailors did, and the sailors didn't even know him as God. They prayed to him, but Jonah still did not pray to God even during that storm. He had to get to the belly of the fish. He had to get so far down before he turned towards God, before he could pray. God will pursue us even when we run away from him. And we sang about that in our songs this morning, that God runs after us. He chases after us. Maybe sometimes there's a big fish chasing us to swallow us, to take us to a place that's so far down to get our attention. Even when we take ourselves to those low places, God will find us and he will take hold of us in a place that may be down, but it's a place of protection, a place of refuge. The fish was not a place of harm. It was a place of safety. It was a place of refuge that God had created for Jonah to be. Even in the very depths, so far away, he could still be safe. God can find us, take hold of us, and also bring us back up. So whatever you're going through today, no matter how down you feel your life has become, God will hear you. He has a plan to bring you back up. Sometimes that might feel like being in the depths of the ocean, in a smelly fish or in a smelly circumstance, but he will hold you there until it is time to bring you back up. And sometimes it may feel like it's been more than 3 days and three nights. And sometimes we've got to be in a place long enough for us to reach out to God. Because if Jonah was only there for 30 seconds, he probably wouldn't have reached out to God yet. 3 days and three nights, we kind of get the idea that, oh my gosh, I think I might be here and stuck here. But he will hold you there until it is time to bring you back up. God will continue to show you mercy and compassion as he did for Jonah. God moved through those sailors. They didn't know God, but he moved through them. The sailors had compassion on Jonah. They didn't want to throw him overboard. They even tried to row back to shore. They tried everything to try and get out of the storm to save Jonah from being thrown overboard. God provides that fish because of his mercy and compassion. He could have just let him drift into the sea and left him. But his mercy and compassion and love for Jonah, even though he was in this watery grave, provided something for him to be in as a safe refuge. God directs the fish to swallow Jonah to save him from drowning. And then later instructs him to vomit him back up on the shore 3 days later. God continually displays his love and mercy towards Jonah, just as he does for us. Despite his disobedience, even when we've done wrong, God will still love and show mercy and have compassion for us. God wants us to call to him. God wants us to know who he is. God wants us to worship him. And sometimes God has to get our attention in the very far down places before we realize how much we need him. We're going to sing a song in a moment that's called Lord, I Need You. And it talks about, you know, every hour we need him. Every moment we need him. And my prayer today is that you will realize that you do need the Lord. That hopefully if you don't wait until you're in those dark, deep places before you cry out to God and realize that you need him. Or maybe you're in that deep place today and you need to cry out and say, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to bring me back up. I need you to love me. I need you to show me mercy where I've done wrong. So as we reflect on this message today, as we sing this song, may this be your prayer. And that calling out to God and realizing that we need him, especially when we are down. Let's sing this together.